This is the M Zone.
And welcome to the M Zone. Jamie Morris. I'm in my big ass basement watching. I just turned the TV on. It's CNN. I don't know why I'm watching CNN, but it happens sometimes every now and then. Joining me today is the hitman himself, Matt the Hitman Misler, on the ones and twos. And also joining us.
That's three horns for three great picks. Four. Detroit.
And joining us also is our man, Matty Boom Boom Lee. Yeah, we might as well get right into it. I mean, if you had to grade it, Matt Leach, Detroit's draft choices. I mean, you know, what do you think?
Well, I give it a. I don't know if I'd quite give it the A plus. I'm somewhere in the A range. I'm debating between that A minus and an A. For these Detroit Pistons, because, I mean, like I said, they made it foolproof for us. They gave us a clear-cut number one pick and gave us that one pick. And so we took it, and he was exciting. Seemed like he showed out that personality, put on those stunner shades and motorcade. Seems like he is ready to step into the limelight here in Detroit. And then myself, any other University of Michigan fan, I'm sure was excited when at number 42, Isaiah Livers gets drafted by his home state. You know, what an amazing journey for him, starting in Kalamazoo, coming here to Ann Arbor, and then now trying to make this Detroit Pistons squad. So it was incredible watching that. And then as soon as it happened, I thought, oh my gosh, I thought I was happy with this draft. I know who's really happy with this draft. My man J-Mo, when his boy Luka Garza ends up coming to the Detroit Pistons. So you throw the clear-cut number one pick in Cade Cunningham, which I do think he has all the star potential. There are a few guys at the top of that draft that have the star potential, but I think his floor is the highest out of any of these guys. And I think his ceiling is potentially the highest out of any of these guys. We will see, but he seems to embrace the position he's in. He is certainly embracing coming to the city of Detroit. So yeah, I give the Pistons an A here yesterday. I was leaning towards, I can't remember his first name, Sims, the other center from Texas, we've got the center from Florida State, who Michigan played against, who seemed to, you know, match up pretty good athletics wise here with our guy Hunter Dickinson, who we're excited to see what he brings and thinks that he can be an NBA big man here coming next season potentially. But Sims out of Texas was maybe the one guy that I would have thought of, because he is maybe just a little bit more of a freak athlete. If you remember seeing some of his highlights from Texas this year, they're all alley-oop dunks that you have to kind of just, ooh, and you kind of hold your breath or take a step back. So that would have been maybe the one other move. I was ecstatic. I think Isaiah Livers is a great second-round pickup at 42. He can contribute a lot to NBA teams, scoring 13 points a game last year, 46% overall shooting, and then 43% from the three-point line, a 41% career three-point shooter. I think he'll be able to take that even up a little bit here once he gets to the next level. So I think a great addition to our Pistons. I was scratching my head a little bit when I heard the Mason Plumlee deal, that we were sending him and the 37 pick to move back to number 57, and I was kind of scratching my head, and I'm still, you know, Mason Plumlee, I think he was a very serviceable center. I think that's obviously why we went big with our last two picks, sending him away. But that, it seems like that's part of Troy Weaver, the mad magician here behind the scenes, pulling the strings. It seems like it's part of his big picture plan for, hey, if Cade can be the star that we're praying to God here in Detroit that he can be, if Jeremy Grant can be another good secondary players, Sadiq Bey, if a few other of these draft picks, even just one or two of them end up really hitting or end up doing well, you know, we have potential where very quickly, maybe not next year, but, you know, possibly maybe the year after, where we can be making some noise, trying to make not just the playoffs, but actually make a difference or make a run like this Hawks team or some of these other young, exciting teams. So I think it was a great night for Detroit Pistons fans or for, you know, the city of Detroit with basketball. And, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, certainly seeing Isaiah Livers go, but Franz Wagner, Jamie getting it right with his prediction at number 8 or when he threw it out there that he would go to Orlando. So I got to give you credit, J-Mo. I thought he might go as high as 7 to those Warriors, but he did. He went to 8 to those Orlando Magic. He's going to be playing with his big brother, Mo. That's, you know, just such a crazy concept, which, again, Jamie, you were part of a brother tandem that was playing in the NFL at the same time, mm-hmm. which I'm sure that was wild enough. You and Big Bro and Tech Mobile, wild stuff. But imagine if after the Redskins, you leave the Redskins and the Giants were like, hey, man, we need. I don't know who else was the tailback there when Joe was there, but we need another tailback. And, you know, playing, it's just such an unfathomable thing to be having not only one member of a family so gifted and athletic enough and, you know, have the good fortune to make it that far. And then to be able to share it with a brother is wild. And then, you know, right after the draft, we see that Shaundi Brown end up signs with the Lakers summer mm-hmm. league team, which, with them trading for Russell Westbrook, they've got a lot of expensive contracts.
Some spaces. Exactly.
They're going to need some cheap contracts to fill some spaces. So, hey, man, best of luck to you. I think also Matt McClung, the guard from Texas Tech, another guy who signed. So he's going to have some competition. But I do think Shaundi Brown is up for it. And then Mikey Smith getting signed by the Bucks to have an opportunity with their summer league team. So those guys, we've seen one of our players here in recent history, Duncan Robinson, go the same path and then ended up playing his way where he could potentially sign a $20 million a year contract this year. Like, that's – oh, my gosh. Thinking about back, you know, when he first came here, transferring from Division III to play in the Big Ten, to think that he's now about to be in a position to sign a $20 million a year contract – is incredible and just a testament to him, his work ethic, and what is possible. So I've said it, you know, Shaundi Brown, he showed here, you know, quite early on, he's got an NBA build or an NBA body, the athleticism. I think he's got the tenacity and the focus. Mike Smith, great point guard. You know, it is going to be a challenge going against even now a step above, you know, he went against some good athletes in the Big Ten, but now you're going against the cream of the crop. So might be, you know, I think it's going to be an uphill climb for him, but every time he's had to meet that challenge, he's been able to do it. And so it seems like he's, you know, same thing. He's got that will to win that fight. And hey, those guys can both shoot the ball in this NBA, you know, this NBA game is predicated on shooting and positionless basketball and everybody being able to shoot. So yeah, it was, I think, a great night for any Michigan Wolverines fan. So anybody listening here, maybe locally in Ann Arbor, but certainly anybody in Metro Detroit. I mean, I don't know. Was there anybody else that, you know, I know you were still hit or miss or maybe not completely convinced on Cade. Was there anybody else that you wish the Pistons would have taken? Is there anything else that you wish would have shaken out differently?
No, I was happy with Cade. You know what? I was – the guy was overall – he was the number one guy. I mean, they were comparing him to Grant Hill. They were, they almost got ridiculous when they compared him to LeBron James. I'm like, wow, okay. So he's got all this upside. Now he's got to turn. He's got to make these lemons. He's got to make a lemonade because I'll tell you what, those are big shoes to fill. And you match anybody. Grant Hill was a great basketball player for the Detroit Pistons. So if you can come in and play as good as Grant Hill, I'll give you that. But then to add on, he is LeBron size with a guard idea. I gotta wait and see. I'm on that. I'm from that. My dad was born in that show me state. It's called Missouri. You gonna have to show me that. I mean, I got to see that. If he's all that in a piece of bubble gum, I'll go with it. But you know what? I got to see it first. I mean, look, it is, and I'm going to say this, the bar is really low. So he really doesn't have high to jump, because anything will be better than what we've been going through. So this young man, I'm excited for him. I'm ecstatic for him. I watched him at Oklahoma State take over the Big 12, and he was using, abusing guys out there on the floor. But can he take that to the next level of the NBA? And can he translate that to the NBA type of play? I hope he does. And I wish him nothing but the luck, because you know what? Very rarely do you get a number one pick and you got the choice of the litter, and you choose the guy, and hopefully it works out. I want it to work out. Isaiah Livers was a great pickup, and I applaud them for that. Luka Gaza, we'll see. But he was the MVP of the Big Ten.
I mean, he has
He has lost 30-something pounds. So, I mean, we'll see what he can do. Hey, you need a bumper and a bruiser to get in there and do some things. Hopefully, you know what? It helps him speed up. It helps him with his speed. It does some things for him. We'll see if it translates over. You know what? What I didn't see? I didn't see that guaranteed perennial all-star. You know what I'm saying? I see these guys. They're good. And Matt, don't get me wrong. They're good, but they ain't taking nobody's spot in the all-star game. I mean, they're good, but there's no instant guy in that group for me. Now, I'm not talking for you. I'm talking for me. I didn't see a instant all-star, someone who's going to take up the space and say, he's the next this and he's the next that, okay? Some of them may come in, and they may emerge like a Devin Booker. There you go. Now Devin Booker is an all-star now. I give you that. I said he's scoring 40 points in three games in the finals and everything like that. I like Devin Booker, but he wasn't an instant guy. Maybe because he went to a bad team. Cade Cunningham is at a bad team, Matt, with some good parts. But is he that answer? Is he that one guy that you add to that team and they win games and they move on? I'm not saying making the playoffs, but they're closer to making the playoffs. Is he that kind of guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, absolutely. And I'll tell you, and again, you're right. Time will tell here soon enough. But, you know, like you said, having him coming in, it's very rare to have a guy come in and change the team around and turn them into a playoff team like that. You know, LeBron James didn't come, you know, that team in Cleveland was not a playoff team those first few years. Eventually, you know, I think it was the second year, maybe third year he got there. I think because there was a big deal that Carmelo Anthony made the mm-hmm. playoffs and LeBron, mm-hmm. you know, LeBron didn't. So there's always times where it doesn't happen. But I do think with his – with the way that these Pistons are
LeBron
set up.
LeBron James was – he changed the whole dynamics of things for his team, though. Yeah. I'm saying, is Cade Cunningham that guy?
Yeah. And again, we'll see. You know, the guy that we're getting – the guy that, you know, I've been hearing a lot of talks about, because he wasn't a number one overall pick, but you can argue was certainly good enough to be the number one overall pick. You mentioned him earlier, Grant Hill. Mm-hmm. And I do think he has that ability to come in. There's going to be, like you said, there are good pieces. You know, having two guys on the all-rookie team in Sadiq Bey and Beef Stew, that's, you know, certainly some serviceable pieces. Whether mm-hmm. you want to say that they're great, they're guys that can play at the NBA level. And Killian Hayes, there's going to be a lot of, I don't want to say microscopes on him, but he's going to be a guy that there's going to be a lot of people watching to see if he can be the point guard to run with this team, if he can take that next step. He's a great playmaker, but can he be a consistent scoring threat with his 2-point and 3-point shot? If he is, hey, maybe we have our point guard of the future to run with these guys. But he is going to be a high usage player. He is going to be shooting the ball a lot, handling the ball a lot. The one thing that, you know, people would say, I think he might have averaged close to four turnovers a game or something like that at Oklahoma State last year. Mm-hmm. I know his assist to turnover ratio wasn't the greatest, which if this guy's going to be basically our point forward who's running the ball, you know, again, like Grant Hill was or some of the other great guards that, you know, kind of big men that we've seen, or not big men, but guys who are 6'7", 6'8", that might be your one slight concern. But again, he can do it all. He handles the ball. He's 6'8", but he's got a 7-foot-plus wingspan. So he's got the long arms and the long reach to be able to finish at the rim. He shoots the ball at a high clip. I think it was 46% overall and 40% from, 40% from downtown while averaging 20 points a game. So, like I said, it seems like he's been in this position. I don't know exactly what he was ranked. I think it might have been number one overall coming out. So when you're the number one recruit, you know, you have the microscope on you at Oklahoma State, which isn't, one of the blue bloods, but he certainly, I mean, I remember watching those games at the end of the year when the Big 12 was kind of still up for grabs, and them in Kansas and them in West Virginia. And there were some really exciting games that were not maybe primetime TV, but were certainly well viewed. And so he's been waiting for this moment. It seems like he's embracing this moment. He's embracing the city. So I do think he can be that guy, because the other pieces around him are pretty good. And, you know, the Pistons could have had, if they wanted, maybe a slightly better, you know, they certainly, you know, Weaver at the end was fighting for that number one pick. I think Josh Jackson missed the game because of a toothache or something, you know, there was something like that. So, you know, we know what they were planning on doing. I think if there's that ability where if they are competing, I don't want to say for a playoff spot, but for what's the play-in? I'm pretty sure they're keeping that moving forward going into next season. So if you can stay relevant through the end of the season, up until like the last week and a half of the season, if you do that, I think that's a huge step forward, and he could be. I know it's tough. We don't see too many rookie all-stars, but I mean, I think he does have that potential to be a guy like Grant Hill, who was an all-star his rookie year. I don't know if he was the leading vote getter his rookie year, but it seems like he's got that it factor. We saw him win a bunch of clutch games, you know, the personality that he was showing during the interviews and everything that he was doing last night. It seems like he wants to embrace, like I said, being the number one pick, being the guy, you know. I've heard all kinds of comparisons. I heard LeBron. I heard Luka Doncic. Like, pretty much anybody who's good in around 6'7 or 6'8, they were comparing him to, because he seems like he can handle the ball. He can do it all. You know, really the difference between him and LeBron coming out is just he's got a better jump shot. And he might be a year older than LeBron was, but close to physically as gifted, but he's right up there. So, yeah, man, I think that this was as close to a surefire number one. And, you know, there's other great guys. I couldn't believe our guy, Jalen Suggs, ended up dropping to five and going to Orlando.
Well, that was the Toronto Raptors trying to make a move on somebody. I don't think they should have moved up. I mean, they should have moved him up to get Scotty Barnes. Don't get me wrong. I like Scotty Barnes, and he's a good player and everything, plays good defense and different things. His shooting is something to be desired. Brick. Maybe they're looking for somebody to run the offense.
You know what they want? I'll tell you what they wanted. They wanted a reincarnation of Playoff Lowry. That's what they wanted. Playoff Lowry.
Right.
Playoff Lowry is you know, Lowry's seasoning is spicy, and that's regular season Lowry. But Playoff Lowry, that's like salt. That's like no flavor, you know? That's what that is. So they had a press conference today, by the way, for the new Pistons, Cade Cunningham, Isaiah Livers, Luka Garza. And can't forget about the trade that was made that did involve Mason Plumlee sending the 37th pick as well to Charlotte. But we got the 57th pick in Balsa Kaprivica. And they had their formal center out of Florida. Speaking of Florida State,
out of Florida State. But yeah, no, I screw it up every time. I feel bad.
Trust me, I'm guessing here. I don't know. I'll probably have to learn it by the time we get to this point. But hey, I'm just lucky that I was able to remember that. But They did announce the rookie jersey numbers for those four players, and one of them makes no sense at all to me. We'll start with the lowest, the pick, Balsa Kaprivica will wear number 23.
Uh-huh. Good number.
Luka Gazza. Say it, Jamie.
Luka Gazza.
Gazza. He's going to wear
Gazza.
He's going to wear
Gazza.
He's going to wear 55.
Nice. Good number, boy.
Keeping
good number for it. Yep. Good number.
Isaiah,
it's always been good.
Isaiah Livers going to go one number above a different Isaiah. He's going to wear number 12 for the Peace Stones. And the one that doesn't make sense to me because this number is technically retired, Cade Cunningham will wear number 2.
So it would be really either number 3 or something else. The
lowest number that he could possibly get would be either 0 or double 0 because 1, 2, 3, and 4 are already commandeered. In the rafters of Little Caesars Arena, Chauncey number 1, Chuck Daly had his number 2 retired
right.
for the 2 titles that he won. Big Ben had number 3 retired, and of course Joey D got number 4 retired back in the early 2000s. But you know, it's maybe he found a loophole, and you know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna argue it. I won't. I won't poo poo at it. You know, that's our number 1 guy. He's the top guy. He's the king. King
no.
high, you know what right now.
No, you are not. Let me say this.
You want to wear 99? You wear 99.
No. It's Chuck Daly's number. Hey, Daddy Rich was good for the Pistons. Don't be disrespecting
Listen,
Daddy Rich.
I love Chuck Daly, but it's not like he wore number 2 playing
but
for the Pistons coaching.
They gave him that number as a retirement, Matt. I know he didn't wear the number, but it's his retirement number. It's the number that represents Chuck Daly. Okay. So I don't care if he didn't wear it. It's who they gave the number to and said, this right here, we're retiring for Chuck Daly. That's some, don't do that. Don't do that. That's wrong. And you know it. I don't care about that. You better go to the Daly family and make sure they cool with it too. I don't care what you say. That is wrong right now.
As somebody who has nothing but love for Chuck Daly, I agree with you. But again, every other number, and I could be wrong, every other number that's been retired by the Pistons has been a player except for that one. So again,
agreed.
Maybe they were thinking it's just we've got his name up there. Which if that's what you wanted to do, then just don't put a number on it and just say,
well, that's what I'm saying. Why give him the number? Why give him the number then? That's my whole thing is you could have just put Chuck Daly's name up there. You could have did what they did for Red Auerbach at Boston. They put a cigar and a hat up there, a little leprechaun hat up there. That's all. They didn't give him a number. All
that's
they did
right.
was leave. You know what I'm
different,
saying.
Oh,
so,
listen, I agree with you, but different ownership. Maybe they talked to him. Maybe they talked to the Daly family, and maybe they were cool with it. But, yeah, no, I like, again, that's the one that has you scratching your head a bit. I think he should just move over. Move Motorcade to 5, baby. 5 times.
5 or 4.
Jalen wore 5.
Hey,
let's
zero's
do it.
Fine. Zero's fine. It stick out like a sore thumb. Double 0 looks even better. I don't care. Dude, whatever. Numbers – hey, numbers don't make the player. The player makes the numbers.
True.
That's what I
say, J-Mo.
I'm just telling you what's up. Hey, you can get all kinds of marketing opportunities with a double 0, a 0, or a 5. I'm just telling you, you can do what you need to do. If you need to, make sure the Daly family is cool with it and everybody's on the same page because that's a bad look and you don't want to come in with a bad look. I'm just saying. It just doesn't look good. And I'm good with that. Hey, long as everybody's on the same page, that's all. You don't want to have nothing coming in, bad boogaloo coming on and saying, you know, you're wearing Chuck Daly's number. I know, but Chuck Daly never wore a number. But it was given to him as a retirement number. That's what I'm saying. Not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Just
I get
keep
it.
Showing up wearing that drip. Keep showing up with that drip, okay? That drip.
Exactly.
Drip check. Drip check.
We got to keep the train. We got to just keep the train moving forward. Again, there was a lot of love here for Detroit last night. And yeah, man, after we were the Bad Boys, again, we loved our Bad Boys documentary, but after Last Dance, we weren't painted in that best light. And now we got everybody back on our team. Everybody back on our side.
I went back and looked at the Netflix Bad Boys, and I watched it again. I watched the whole, you know, Jordan Dorsier, as they call it. I watched that again. Do you realize a lot of Pistons ended up being Chicago Bulls? I'm just letting you know. And they beat them up just like the
Pistons. Yeah, and they want to pretend like Dennis Rodman was like all of a sudden like, oh, he's this new and better version of himself. He's got this crazier hair, and he's just disappearing to Vegas and all this stuff. But he's a better version than when he was in Detroit, of course.
Ooh.
All I'm saying is that there was a lot of Pistons that played on that old squad that beat up Jordan. Then they joined forces, and they were beating people up for Jordan. Just saying. We got to go to a break. We got to go to a break. We come back. We got more good stuff coming along. Hey, at 4 o'clock, Angelique Shungalis, the angel of the big house. So, you're listening to the M Zone.